either one of those, I could preach. But when you're preaching, you don't use your wife's sermons. You make your own, you know. But this one is from the little girl that I met years ago. She's the only woman I know that writes me and sends me cards, and my wife isn't jealous about, you know. But I met her when she was about 12 years old, and I was probably in my mid-30s. But we've been friends, and she writes me an outline every once in a while. And I really wanted to just take 10, 15 minutes and share this. She said, "This is for you." And there's just 3-4 points, and we won't read all the scriptures because that's all it is you know, for us to understand who we are, what we are, what condition we're in. But the first was man's condition. And she used Ecclesiastes 7:20. "There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not." If you think about Ecclesiastes, and you think about the second verse he used in Romans chapter 3, 23, and Romans 6, 23, we are just basically bunch of saved sinners, and if we're not careful, we will fall back into that habit, because it's easier to just to do what the flesh will do normally than it is to do what it takes some spiritual effort. You know, God said, "For the wages," here in 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And I was reading these this morning, and I was thinking, you know, for me to have had a couple heart surgeries and some other surgeries, most people will think I'll probably die of a heart attack or heart-related death. Or if my wife got cancer, so she'll die of cancer. Or whatever you got, you know, people say it'll probably want to take you out. But that's not a bit of truth, because God said the wages of sin is death. So every one of us is going to die. We're going to die because we're sinners. Now, I bring this to it as I talk to one of the nurses over in our area. I said, you know, if you want to get spiritual about it, nobody's died from COVID. Nobody's died from cancer. Nobody's died from a heart attack. But we all die because we're sinners. Now, he said, that's not anything to, no, it's not anything to joke about. It's something that we ought to get serious about. Amen. Because we are got an appointed time to die. But the reason we're dying because of Adam's sin, and we fell right into it, and even though we profess to be a children of God bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, yes, I will guarantee you that we don't like to think about it, but every one of us sin at least one time a day, because none of us can love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, although we have a desire to do that. We know that what the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 1:18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." The reason nobody don't want to hear the gospel, the reason they want to hear anything but the gospel is because to think that a man some 2,000 years ago could die and save whosoever will. And I'm not Armenian, I'm Baptist. But I don't have no problem at all using that God will save anybody that wants to. Now, we go deeper and we know why that person wants to. But if you never have a desire to change your life, you never have a desire to come to God, that won't happen. You'll get satisfied with exactly the way you are, and nothing will change your mind, because the natural man hears not the things of God. He doesn't have a spiritual understanding. Now, in Luke, the 19th chapter, and verse 10 said, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." I was lost. As Scripture tells us that the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, we know that everyone that God seeks, he finds. He knows where every human being in the United States and the world is tonight, what condition they're in, and whether they're saved or lost. And to think, that God that is so mighty, he chose me. Man's condition, what's going to get man out of that condition? We know that Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:18 that the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolish. I felt that way. A lot of my family came to Christ before I did. You know, tell me, you going down and listening to somebody speak words out of a book he didn't write, you're going to save me? See, I didn't have a desire. So that applied to me, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolish. But when God saved me, that same word that I thought was foolish became blessed to me. Before God saved me, I couldn't imagine that I would spend an hour or so reading or studying the Word of God every day. Couldn't imagine that. But for some years, since God has saved me and he showed me that I was lost and I was on my way to hell and there's nothing I could do about it except acknowledge who he was and who he is. I did, and he did. So man's condition is he's lost and helpless, depraved, and on his way to hell without Jesus Christ. The second point is God's charity. God's charity. Titus 2:11 talks about, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." In other words, whoever is saved tonight is because the grace of God came to him, not because of who he was, but who Christ was and is. We read John 3:16. Very few people know exactly what that verse means. But I'll tell you one thing that it does mean, that God loves. God loves. But in the book of Ephesians, shows the greatest form of love. When we look at Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10, and we've all memorized that verse by our heart, but it still blesses me. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. When you underline the word them, who's he talking about? He's talking about everyone that God saved. Now, he said, not of works lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. A child of God that is truly born again cannot live and be happy without doing something for the Lord. Paul said in Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, do I believe that how I spent my day today was pleasing to the Lord? And I don't really believe that any of us can say yes or no and be positive, because sometimes we do something and we really don't know deep down why we did it. Did we do it because that's what saved people are to do? Did we do it because that person was special? Did we do it because it was just a need and I seen that need and I could help? I mean, I remember Brother Clarence Walker, who started Lexington Baptist College, which I attend, and only had one class under Brother Walker, because he really died. I mean, he when I was first saved. But Brother Walker said, you know, he was talking about the Greek and the English. He said, you know, students and professors have a bad habit of saying, this is what it says, but in the Greek, it means this. And you'd have to know Brother Walker. He said, I never did agree with that, and I never did believe that, and he's the only professor that knew Hebrew and Greek both that I ever took a class under. But he said, what it is, that the English is a black and white picture of me. The color is Greek or Hebrew. That's a color picture of me. The original language goes into detail better. See, because you can take the word agape, which is for love, but there's so many forms of agape. So why do we do anything at all? Because we're all depraved. And this body did not get sanctified when I was saved. I'm still a sinner. This flesh is my enemy. But because the Spirit of God lives in me, if I yield to that Spirit of God, little of the flesh will come out. And I remember what the word agape and agapo and rest of the Greek words for love means. I love my wife in a different way than I love Steve. I love my grandchildren in a different way than I love your grandchildren. Now, God said, for we are his workmanship, We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We were created unto good works. Now you take the word unto and you look that up and study it. It means it's pre-planned. So that tells me that every child of God is going to serve in some capacity. Going to have a desire to do something. And as Sister Maude Arnold says, well, at my age, all I can do is pray. Man, I tell you, I'd like to have 100 of her. Such doing nothing but praying for me. Because praying is hard work. It's hard for sometimes to keep my mind cleared for 5 minutes to pray. There's other times I can pray, it seems like forever and forever. We've got to remember, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and do of his good pleasure. You say, well, if God was in me, I had a person ask me that on this visitation. I said, but God is in you if you're saved. You remember my favorite verse? I'll just keep all time on that. When Jesus said it is expedient, it's necessary that I go away. Because he said, if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit won't come. But when I go away, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and he lives in you. If everybody in this building was saved, the Holy Spirit is in every one of us. Question. You get that, you pass the test. Why don't all of us believe the same thing? Is there two different Holy Spirits? I think most people will say no. There's only one Holy Spirit because there's only one God and he is the third part of that one God. First of all, we have got to be willing to say, Lord, show me the truth of this word. And sometimes, you know, it just blows our mind when God shows it to us. And we really don't want everybody to know that we used to believe this and now we believe this. That's a sign of growth. But the Holy Spirit is not going to teach Sister Henrietta Barnes one thing about the church and Sister Brenda Hampton something else. But what he will do, he'll let one of them know a part of it, you know, why they're not ready, you know. When I was first saved, I believe, you know, didn't really understand what church was. But when I learned about what the church was, then I learned that God sent the Son to go get his people, which is the bride. The bridegroom is coming for what? Bride. What the bride do? She messed up. So that means that if I was saved 53 years ago, I ought to know a little bit more than I knew when I was saved. The only thing I knew that Tuesday morning is that I was lost and now something had happened. I couldn't understand it. I couldn't explain it, you know. See, that's because of the second word that she used, and that's God's charity or God's love. The third word was Christ cleansing. You know. All of those sins. And it took some time for all of them to completely leave. Now I know people have told me, well, Pastor, it didn't happen that way. When God saved me that Tuesday morning, everything was different. Well, it was in your soul, but I don't believe you can be honest and say everything in your flesh and how you thought and what was important to you just had a complete change. But as you grew in grace, they took their place. You know, just like a baby. That baby grows. Then God gives us certainty. You know, that's what Paul meant in Romans 8, verse 38 and 39, when he said, "For I am persuaded." In other words, he was saying, "I am convinced that death or life or angel, principalities, powers, things present or things to come, life, death, whatever, it can't stop me from doing what God wants me to do." I said, "I don't know what is going to happen. I know that a lot of things that my president put in place, that 12 of them changed this afternoon because they were all rolled back. So with the slide of a pen, he changed a lot of things. I know that. But I also know that God's in charge, and whatever God allows, it may have been brought on because we took it for granted. It may have been brought on because he's getting us ready for the big show. Which is what we're going to begin to preach verse by verse in the book of Revelations again. But before we do that, we're going to preach on the rapture. Because I believe that's the next big event. And then you'll understand Revelations. If the rapture takes place tonight and he says, "Come up hither," you really won't have to worry about any more tests, any surgery, nothing. Dora won't have to worry about having problems breathing, strength. Putting up with me, anything, because she will be perfect. I don't know about anybody else in the church, but that excites me. Amen. And the more I study about it, the more I learn about it, and I said, "God, show me that why I believe it this way, and I've got this commentary that believes this, and this study Bible that believes this. Why have you showed me this way?" Because I believe that God only shows his people truth. And the last point was, I'm just briefly, your challenge. What's your challenge? Jesus came from heaven, died on the cross in your place, shed his blood for your cleansing, rose bodily from the dead, ascended boldly unto heaven, and is coming again. All you got to do tonight, if you're lost, is to repent, turn toward God, receive Christ as your Savior, and rejoice as you allow him to do all these things for you. Now, I called her and I said, "Did you really believe that?" Let me read it again. "Will you repent, turn toward God, receive Christ as your Savior, and rejoice as you allow him to do all these things for you?" I said, "Do you really believe that you got to allow God to do that?" And she says it fast. "Yes. I've got to be willing to obey. And if I'm truly saved and I'm in his will, I will obey." I thought that's pretty good. Because I repented because I wanted to. I didn't have enough sense at the time to know that it was God that worked in me that caused me to repent. See, we really do nothing on our own. And what we do on our own is usually wrong. But when we follow that word, when we follow that spirit, so the question, and I try to be honest with everybody's, if they give me something to read or to comment on, she ended up, she said, well, we need to pray. I said, that's all? Who's taught you since you were 12 years old that you got to pray through? She said, oh, I didn't mean that. I said, then tell me what you meant. You got to call upon the name of the Lord. You've got to ask him to come into your life. You've got to ask him, God, grant me repentance and faith and give me the ability and knowledge to know what is real and what isn't real. Because if you and I think that Satan cannot confuse us to the point we even doubt our salvation, you ain't been saved long enough. Believing that I'm a sinner and that Christ Jesus died for my sins. That's what you got to do. See, because when you do that, if one of you were lost and I say, all you got to do right now, you just got to believe that you're a sinner, that Jesus Christ died for you, and you, will you right now receive him as your Savior. Now, see, if you do, and if it's real, there was a lot of undercover work that the Holy Spirit done that you didn't even realize he was there. Because let me tell you, I can go back to that Tuesday morning and I began to do things slowly. That was out of my, you know, I just didn't do those things. It was all about me, you know. A little old country boy that was born with nothing was going to have something. Well, I found him. He found me. And that's all it's about. Jesus Christ is the answer to whatever your question is. He is the answer. I think I've only done like this a couple, three times, but I just wanted to share with you what a young lady that does not claim to be a preacher, she does not claim to be a deacon, she's just a Sunday school teacher that loves the Lord and loves to share what God has done for her. Okay.